When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome to Dynasty Life. I'm Theo Greminger. Redraft ends, but Dynasty is life. And Dynasty Life, I mean, I'm getting there. My guest today, this is actually cool because you're a two-time guest now to Dynasty Life. This is my boy, Jax Falcone of the Undrafted and the Undroppables. You can catch his podcast right here on the Player Profiler main feed. If you're listening to Dynasty Life, you probably already listen to Jax on a weekly basis, but I had a cool show idea. We do something like this every single year. We're doing it a little bit early this year because there's a lot of like question marks. We love a lot of these guys in this class, but we're still learning about them. On the flip side, the second year players, we have countless information. We've seen them play a full NFL season and we know what they are at this point. Certain guys have more upside than others. Certain guys, you know, maybe we're looking to get out of, but we're going to compare the two classes collectively right now. And I think this is a really good one if you're in dynasty leagues, especially if you're looking to make trades, looking to break into this class, maybe look to sell high on a couple of these second year guys. But Jax, welcome to the show. You're crushing it, man. Every week. I know you're recording later this afternoon with Ray Garvin. Yeah. Every week, it's like a great show from you guys. You guys are really like one of the best dynasty podcasts out there at this point.
Thank you so much, man. That means the world coming from you. You're a great dynasty player and obviously, you're doing great things with, you know, with Player Profiler. I think to your point, regarding the class and getting in there. I mean, it's still early, but it's never too early, right? You know, so I told you before the show, I'm asking more questions than I am giving answers at this particular point. You know, I've got people on the show that are really college football forward. You know, Ray G knows his college. Last week was Felix Sharp. That was a great show, and you know, I've got your boy, John Lobb, coming up in a couple weeks. I've got, you know, Thor Nystrom, Senior Bowl show. So we've got a lot of great shows coming up on the Undrafted. And, you know, it's probably better when I ask questions than tell stories because, you know, my guests are usually smarter than me. But, yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. The show's great. And yeah, I'm excited to do this one here with you today.
Well, don't sell yourself short about telling stories because one thing where I always bring this up every time we record, and you do the Anatomy of series where you look at, you know, the class of players and the boxes they check off that kind of like ties them into like future fantasy production.
Yes.
It's very easy to take. It's very easy to read. You don't go like full nerd. You keep mm-hmm. it like you keep it for the people, Jax. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Two of them are in the can, the wide receivers and the, actually, the running backs and the quarterbacks. I've got wide receivers and tight ends still to do, and I haven't put them out yet. But, you know, it's funny because this year we're going to see a bit of a different anatomy or prototype. You know, the anatomy is basically what the prototype is. And, you know, with guys like James Cook, Devon Achane, Jahmyr Gibbs, there was a couple others.
Kyron Williams.
Kyron was the other one. Thank you. There were some smaller backs that really brought down the average you know, size and the threshold size for, you know, an elite running back at the NFL level. So very, very interesting to see if that's an aberration or if that's something that we see taking hold going forward. But one of the things about the anatomy series that one of the reasons I did it was I didn't want to look back. I wanted to try and look forward, and I wanted something that helped us sort of keep current or looking into the future and catching those trends. Well, now it's 5 years. I was telling Chalk, we're going to do some cool stuff with, you know, sort of tracking, you know, the anatomy and how it's changed now that we've got, you know, 5 years of data. We could even, I suppose, go backward and do it, but that sounds like a lot of work. But, you know, we're starting to get there. So it's really cool stuff. And we're going to see that same thing with the wide receiver position with Tank Dells and players like that, Zay Flowers, et cetera.
Yeah, it's funny because you bring up like the anatomy of, and you bring out like outliers, and outliers stop being outliers when there's a bunch of them. That's and right. you brought up all these 190 pound running backs. I think it's, you know, it's almost like going to be like a don't go chasing waterfalls type thing, because you could throw Keaton Mitchell's big time performance there. And I think we're much more open to drafting these smaller running backs now. I know I have for years. I remember I was on a show a couple of years ago where I took James Cook ahead of like Sky Moore, and people like ripped my head off. And I'm like, okay, now how's that one looking? But, you know, it's funny because like a guy like Bucky Irving 5 years ago, people maybe would have brushed aside. Now I feel like the community is even more hyped on a Bucky Irving than they would have. And it's interesting you bring up like Tank Dell, and shout out to David in the chat brings up Tank Dell, how we saw like the Devonta Smith debate years ago, the BMI, and people were like, he's too skinny and this is a mistake by Philadelphia. Now it's kind of comical where you have Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, Devonta Smith, and now we have Troy Franklin, a guy where, you know, 10 years ago, you know, people would have maybe brushed him aside as too skinny. And now everybody has him in their first round of mocks. I know I have him like fifth overall in my ranks right now.
Don't spill the beans now.
Well, no, you can find my rankings.
I'm only teasing.
My top 24 is out. But like, how are you, you know, expand on that, Jax, because.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and some things, basically, if it makes sense, then the data starts to be something that you can trust. If it's kind of like, that doesn't make any sense, but it does make sense. You think about running backs. Well, there's more split backfields. It's more of a faster pace game. You know, it's just a different game. There's fewer bell cows. There's less like, you know, there's more passing on, you know, second and short, you know, just all of it, more shotgun. Like you can just sort of name all the trends, and it does lend towards a smaller back being successful in the league. Okay. So simple as that. And then at the wide receiver position, the same thing holds true. We're seeing shorter passing, the A dot going down, higher volume of passing, right? You know, higher completion percentage, more multiple wide receiver sets, more motion, right? All these things lend less contact from the defense. You can't hit them. So all of these things that go around that Tank Dell and Devonta Smith are successful in the NFL support that. So that's where we start to say, okay, well, we have to lean into that and be smart as a dynasty player. Look, I was the first one that said, you know, 10 years ago, you know, all these small wide receivers, what was it? John Ross. I was like, pass on John Ross, get out of here. And now I'm not. I was the Tank Dell supporter. So I think the anatomy helps me get there quicker. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, prisoner of the moment. But I think that's what you have to look for. And these trends tend to tell the story that supports the data.
Yeah. And one other guy who is somewhat of an outlier, and it's a slight one, because, you know, anybody who listened to Jax and I last offseason, Jax was all over Sam Laporta. I have a ton of Sam Laporta. You know, my Sam Laporta teams did well, you know, hashtag won money in Dynasty this year with Laporta. Love it. I mean, you know, as much as you want. Thank you, Levitan. Sam Laporta.
Hashtag
thank you,
how
Sam
rich.
Laporta.
Yeah.
But he was somewhat of an outlier, because now we're starting to see the tight end position change. You know, our friend Scott Connor, who's one of the, you know, better Dynasty voices out there, during the process with Sam Laporta, he brought up the fact that most of the hits at the tight end position historically have been these taller tight ends. Now you're starting to see these kind of more like a hybrid wide receiver almost with guys like Laporta. Laporta is a mauler. He's a beast. But at the end of the day, you can line him up on the outside and he would still do well. Now you have a real hybrid tight end wide receiver in Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. And a Brock Bowers, like, you know, 15 years ago, people would have said is too small at the tight end spot. now I think there's like no trepidation, especially after like Laporta's big rookie season. Where are you at? We're going to get into these debates.
Yeah,
I want to take
a step back. So
Brock Bowers, Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid.
I've got a take on Brock Bowers. I've got the take. So I was anti Kyle Pitts at his ADP in rookie drafts for the reasons that have been historical, which is not that Kyle Pitts isn't a good prospect. I even argued that Kyle Pitts might have been the on paper best tight end prospect ever. So, you know, it wasn't a player take. It was more of a situational take with the tight end position and how it's not as predictive. We look at the first tight end taken in the NFL draft has seldom been the tight end that you wanted, even Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta was not the first tight end taken. So he wasn't the first round tight end, go get him. Neither was Kelce, neither was Kittle, neither was any of these guys. So, the size, I saw someone just mention Laporta's size versus Pitts and all the rest of it. Look, it's not necessarily their size only. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. When I scout Brock Bowers and when I finally do the film work on Brock Bowers, I will not be looking at his receptions and his route running and his tackle breaking. You can lock those in. He is fucking good at those things. What I'm going to be looking at is his blocking. And because I want to not make the mistake of Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts cannot be the dominant player that a player like Kittle or Gronkowski can be, because they can't line him up at tight end. They can't light him up on the line and tell him to just block linebackers. He gets absolutely shoved around. He's not good at it. Now, if Brock Bowers can play like Laporta does, Laporta can play anywhere, right? He can play on first down, second down, third down, fourth down, goal line. He can play everywhere on the field, every single down. And that's what makes him super, super valuable. I think Brock Bowers can, but if he can, he's a very, very special athlete in space and breaking tackles and pulling away from linebackers and safeties. So he's a very exciting player.
Yeah, I mean, exciting is the word for it. And I think that anybody who drafts him and uses that, I think his floor is Indianapolis at 15. But I think more likely than not, he lands inside the top 10.
Yeah.
And here's a conspiracy theory one. When if I draft Brock Bowers, I can basically target him 145 times and not have to pay him like a wide receiver. So, that you save a little money on Bowers versus like a Dunze if you're drafting around like that 6, 7, 8, 9 range. So, just very, very, very interesting.
Well, it's Kincaid. Think about Kincaid. You know, Kincaid was basically drafted like a slot player because, he plays sort of with Dawson Knox, not ahead of or behind. You know, they sort of play different roles, different positions, different, utilities on the football field. They're just different players. It kind of harkens back to the old, Gronk and Hernandez, right? I mean, they play different positions. And, then it comes to usage because, a team like New England that was using Hernandez like they did got a lot of production from him. But, we've seen that happen with guys like Jonnu Smith, in Atlanta where he kind of played that role. But not that volume. So you know what I mean? There's different roles and different positions on the field at that tight end position.
And a question from the chat from Jamie. Do we get points? Do we get points for blocking a tight end, bro?
You don't.
He didn't say but I put it in there.
You get play action tight end touchdowns. That's what you get.
Also get, guys playing more snaps. I mean,
That's true, too. But also, Gronkowski used to line up at tight end, right, in line, and then they would flex him outside. And this poor linebacker would, drift out there and look around and be like, do I have to cover him? And he'd roast him down the field. With Pitts, they don't do that. They just – I always say, 52 is covering Pitts on the outside. He's dead. But they don't have to cover him with 52. They can cover him with 32. Because even if he moves inside, 32 can hold up against him. You get my point. It's safety or a nickel corner. Can hold up against him in the run game. So they don't have to go big against a guy like that. If you go small against Gronkowski, we're running for 8 yards a carry. So you have to play a bigger player. It creates mismatches. And that's what I'm talking about with Brock Bowers is, can he play, like you say, a lot of downs, but also how can a team use him? And it's not so much, look, a wide receiver, where do they line up? Out there against the corner. That's fucking it, man. That's the deal, man. It's like, can you beat it or not? A tight end has multiplicity to him, and that's where if you can block, then you can play in a lot of different game situations, play action. the quarterback can be under center. How often are you going to see, I don't know, PFF probably has a stat, quarterback under center, Kyle Pitts in line? I don't think very often.
Not too often. Well, let's take a step back. You know, there's a great deal of enthusiasm at the quarterback position in this class. We're going to talk about those guys in a few minutes when we do our mock. Wide receiver, it's through the roof. Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Adunze. Tight end, we have the star power of Brock Bowers at the top. Yeah. You know, some people are excited about Jatavion Sanders too, but we'll talk about him another time. The position that's getting beat up is running back. Yeah. If you say a nice thing about the running back position, you know, or a specific running back in this class, there's a lot of pushback. I know I released my rankings. You can read my top 24 rankings of Player Profiler right now. And I there's a video right here on Player Profiler YouTube with my updated rankings. And I pushed a couple of running backs a little bit higher than consensus. Not crazy, but a couple of guys sneak in a little higher than consensus. Do you think that there's too much hate on this class? Are you seeing utility at the position with lack of star power? How would you describe it without diving too much into players specifically?
Yeah, no, I've got that. Yeah, I think, you know, if, every year I look to see if there's an elite running back, you know, and last year I thought there was definitely one and Bijan and two with Jahmyr Gibbs, if, you know, if he was big enough. And then there was all the others. And it seems like every year there's that, you know, and, you know, we forget what we think in January because we so soon will think what we think in May. But when we think in January and February, we used to think Isaiah Spiller was the, you know, the running back two. We thought that Jamar Jefferson was a top, you know, top 10 dynasty rookie pick. We thought, you know, all these things, Sean Tucker last year or Zach Evans. It happens every single year that the next group of guys falls further than we want them to. I was an Izzy Abanikana fan early. Yeah. And I mean, this is not like, oh, you're an idiot, bro. You're an idiot if you start to think for sure these guys are going to be what you think they're going to be. So I think there's not a Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs type of player in this draft. And so, excuse me. And so therefore they're all more like the rest of them, you know, Kendre Millers and players like that. So there may be actually some depth. There may be some, you know, diamonds in the rough. I've been asking the question, you know, on my show, if there is going to be a top five dynasty running back at the position in 2 years, which one is it? I'm going to find out as we ask Ray G later today what he's going to say for that. But yeah, I'm kind of curious if there is any ceiling in this class, where is it going to come from? I actually don't even know. I've got my own sort of thoughts. I like Jonathan Brooks a bit, but I'm not planting any flags. Let's just put it that way. But I think that's what happens. So my thought process going into it is kind of just fade those running backs, you know, until we have more information, you know, draft capital, combine testing, things like that, because until then they could be undrafted. Your favorite running back might go undrafted.
Well, my favorite running back won't get undrafted, but some other people's favorite running backs might go undrafted.
You know what I mean, though.
I know.
Braylon Allen is not an elite player.
Well, here's a little pushback on Braylon Allen. I think he's going to get the draft capital. I've said that before because I think a 19-year-old leaving Wisconsin is not going there without some sort of guarantee from, like, the advisory committee, you know, giving him some sort of indication that this is where we have you in the process.
Sure.
And I think that also, you know, you mentioned Jonathan Brooks. And more likely than not, he also got that. Now, with the injury, there's a chance that he just wanted to start his NFL career before a chance of a re-injury at Texas this year. Brooks is the one who can elevate this class collectively, though, because I think that if he never got hurt, he would be a guy that we're, like, talking about after Adunze in that next mix of guys. Yeah. You know, so he's got the youth, he's got the receiving ability, the profile, and all that sort of explosiveness. The two Big Ten backs, Corum and Allen, are boring, but I think at the end of the day, both those guys are going to get the draft capital. So I'm very interested to see what you and Ray GQ talk about with this class. I like Estime. I like Bucky Irving. Yeah. I think it's – and Benson, sure. I mean, it's interesting. So
I like Benson.
Yeah, there's some interesting guys in this class. I wish – last time we talked, we said Henderson was going to be our guy from this class. Thanks a lot, Trevion Henderson, going back to Ohio State. That was really cool. Yeah. I have a question in the chat, though. Your name, your real name is Scott Bullinger. Share the Jax Falcone name, because we had a question in the chat. It's always a good story.
Yeah. I mean, I was just coming on here to be incognito when I first got on Twitter. And so I just kind of used you know, an old alias that kind of came from a bunch of different stupid stories in my life. So, you know, it was sort of an amalgam of a bunch of nonsense. It's really all it is. And so, but it was a pretty cool fucking name. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll just roll with that. And I'm not trying to get any attention. I was actually trying to fly under the radar. And in doing so, you know how Twitter is. You start communicating, you start doing that, and people go, hey, you're kind of cool, you're kind of smart or whatever. And so I, at one point I tried to change it and people are like, who the fuck is Scott? Where's Jax? Bring him back. So I was like, all right, I'll just keep it forever. And it's kind of fun. So it's really silly and I don't think too much of it, but I don't know, just what it is.
No, it's definitely cool. And I think at this point you're known by both names, which is nice as well. So anyway, when we come back, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're diving into it. I'm going to take the 101. I'm going to leave you at the 102 because
I like that.
I'm going to go 101 and we're going to do a 2-round super flex rookie versus sophomore draft. And just a caveat, I've seen people try to do this process where they will compare to like the prospect profile last year. We're not doing that.
No.
Where they're at today.
Yes.
And I'll let you be dealer's choice before we go to break. Okay. Do you want to do tight end premium or simply super flex PPR?
Oh, you want to do super flex?
I would like to do super. Well, we could do.
Okay, we can do super flex.
Yeah, let's do super flex because
super flex. Okay.
Okay, so super flex. Super flex will be really fun because now you got to really think. But do you want to go tight end premium here?
Maybe a small one.
Okay, so we'll go like 1.25. Keep the
1.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah, nothing. 1.5. You know, 1.5. Then we'll say 1.5 tight end premium. Okay.
Okay.
Makes it a little spicier for our Bowers and Laportas and stuff. Awesome. Stick with us here at Dynasty Life. We're going to be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Rival Fantasy. Rival Fantasy, the coolest fantasy platform not enough people know about, but they will once I'm done, baby, because they're always innovating. They just rolled out seasonal leagues. We set them up for patrons, for our listeners, and they funded over $1,000 in payouts. That's what Rival's all about. They're always innovating. They already had the fantasy book where you can take overs and unders, stack them up, multiply your payout. But then they added challenges so you can set your own lines and put them out there for the community. And then you can browse the community's lines and say, hey, this guy's crazy. I'm going to take the other side. It's cool. And they have fantasy bingo. Rival Fantasy is reminding me how much fun I can have with fantasy football and use that promo code PLAYER. The promo code is PLAYER. They give you a $100 instant deposit match plus $25 plus a free play. That promo code is PLAYER for up to $125 in deposit bonus and a free play. You can't beat it.
Welcome back to Dynasty Life. I am Theo Greminger, joined by Jax Falcone, a.k.a. Scott Bollinger of the Undrafted.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting into it. Reflects here. And I think the 101 is interesting. And we can table talk here. We're not playing for money.
No, absolutely.
101, legitimately, you can make a case for four guys. But at the end of the day, it's one for me that stands out. It's C.J. Stroud. I'm taking C.J. Stroud easily over any 1.01 offer to me. If somebody in Superflex is willing to flip it, you take that deal and you run with it. And I'm also willing to kind of overpay for that. If I have to send the 101 plus to get C.J. Stroud, I'm set it, forget it, not have to worry about it for 10 years at the quarterback position. I think he's the truth. I think he's awesome. And easy one for me. You would have done the exact same thing, correct?
Yeah, in a New York minute. I mean, I think at some point during the season I had, you know, Stroud and A-Rich pretty close, but now it's easily Stroud. A good friend of mine, I'll shout him out, CMFK, made a trade early in the year. I think it was after like the first good game Stroud had. Like it was like Stroud was like, okay, he's good. So he had like a little bit of value, but he wasn't CJ Stroud yet. He traded Patrick Mahomes away for CJ Stroud and Garrett Wilson. And everybody was like, you sold light, man. How do you give up Mahomes for such a small haul? And now he looks like a friggin' genius. That's a great trade, right?
That's an incredible trade. And I tried doing that a couple weeks ago, flipping a Mahomes for like Stroud plus. The market's completely wise to it. It's the wrong time to do it.
He did it early, and it felt like an underpay. It was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? You're giving up Mahomes. It's smart move. So sometimes you call your shot with a guy. So
sometimes in Dynasty, the best trades and the ones you look back at are the ones you're sort of uncomfortable making at the time, and they end up paying off.
That's right.
Okay, so you're OTC at the 102. I know you are a huge Anthony Richardson guy.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson. And I would take Anthony Richardson over the 1.01 as well. It's closer, but I, you know, if I'm in a dynasty startup right now, I feel very, very confident with Anthony Richardson. I've seen him, and he also has gigantic seasonal upside. I mean, dude, the touchdown scoring that this guy can that this guy can put together could be incredible on the ground. And you know, Steichen gives me a lot of confidence. The offense gives me a lot of confidence. JT is going to be back. Pittman is a stud. I think they're going to lock up Pittman one way or the other. If nothing else, I think they're going to put the franchise tag on Pittman. So I don't think he's going anywhere. Josh Downs is very, very good. See what they can do in the draft. The offensive line is good. And for those who say he's injury prone, GTFOH.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier in the year, you know, when he was injured, but this is not a knee injury. This is a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect his mobility whatsoever. And
it's going to be fine.
Since we spoke last, the Colts extended Jonathan Taylor.
Yep.
And the Colts have the 15th overall pick, which they are probably going to use on the offensive side of the ball. And yeah. Josh Downs looks like a very capable wide receiver, too, for him.
Yep.
Pittman, I think they'll franchise tag. So, like, Anthony Pierce? Richardson.
Pierce is a great little number three deep threat guy kind of guy. I mean, you know.
Alec Pierce, for like what they do stylistically with Richardson, that helps out a lot.
Perfect.
So,
yep.
100%. Okay, so I'm at the 103, and this is a tough one because mm-hmm. this is the question this year in Superflex where I have an all-timer at the wide receiver position, you know, or the last 10-year guy. You know, we can't go all to Calvin Johnson was a pretty good prospect too.
Yep.
But I can
You go also Marvin have Harris. Marvin Harrison Jr. too.
Oh, there
See
you go. I know you're yeah, I love it. I love
there.
It. What a great top two at the wide receiver spot right now in this class. So I could go Marvin Harrison Jr. I could go Caleb Williams. And I think I'm going to go Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
We had our dynasty rankings. We have updates, a bunch of updates at Player Profiler. And I keep wanting to push Caleb Williams higher in like the Superflex rankings. I think there's prospect fatigue with Caleb Williams. I think people are worried about stuff that has no impact on our fantasy teams whatsoever with him. Like, you know, his personality traits and, you know, whatever, his emotion after a loss, stuff like that. That stuff doesn't matter to me. This is a guy where if he was eligible last year, we would have drafted him over CJ Stroud and over Anthony Richardson. And we would have taken him as a QB1 in last year's class where we had three quarterbacks go off the board in the top five. So I'm going to go Caleb Williams. It's very difficult to leave those two wide receivers on the table. But I think Williams is the correct structural pick in Superflex here. And I think a year from now, I wouldn't bet on it, but there's a chance in a year he catches Stroud and Richardson.
Yeah, I think Caleb is like, you know, a lot of people comp him to Mahomes. I see that just because he plays a little, he likes to be out of structure a bit. You know, the recent one that I've been brainstorming is he's maybe between like Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's got a little bit of that, you know, gunslinger mentality, but he's a little bit more efficient than Jordan Love was, you know, obviously a lot more efficient in college. So yeah, he's on that sort of a spectrum, that big arm, you know, lots of tools to work with there. So no doubt about it. And of course, someone in the chat had said that, you know, Caleb is going to have a better career than Anthony Richardson. Maybe. Probably, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm playing for fantasy points, and I will bet you that Anthony Richardson outscores Caleb Williams this year. That would be a bet I'd make pretty strongly. You know, and then there's always with the quarterbacks, there's always bust possibility. You know, we see it at the quarterback position. That's why they're so scary to pick. You know, he's a great, great prospect. I can't deny the prospect that is Caleb Williams. So with my pick, I guess I will just kind of stay chalky here. I'll take Marvin Harrison Jr. I've been asking the question. I will continue to ask it if it's possible that Malik Nabers is a better prospect than Marvin Harrison Jr. When you ask this question, people get very, very upset just by asking the question, just so you know. I have not said that I have Malik Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm just saying, is it possible he's better? And that really pisses people off. You should see it. The engagement I got from that question was pretty awesome. So I think there's a little bit of emotion tied to this. Marvin Harrison is the number one prospect. And if you think any other thing, just get out of my way. So I don't think that's a good way to go into it. I want to go in a little bit more open-minded, but for this action today, give me Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, and it just speaks volumes to the strength of last year's class and this year's class, because at Player Profiler, our top two running backs in Dynasty are still on the board in this draft.
Yeah.
So I have the opportunity to go Bijan or Jahmyr Gibbs. I also can go back to the quarterback position, and I could make a case for taking, you know, one of those other quarterbacks in this class right here. I think that the correct move, though, is to go, and I'll flag plant. As much as I love Bijan Robinson, I'm a Jahmyr Gibbs guy. Ooh. I'm going to flag plant Jahmyr Gibbs here at the 105. Wow. I think they're both first round rookie picks. First round redraft picks next year. And I think in Dynasty, they're both, any way you want to cut it, they're top, you know, three, top four at the bottom. But Dynasty assets, the running back position. But for me, it comes down to, we saw Jahmyr Gibbs give you a top eight running back season, and he caught like 52 passes. You know, if you look at all the running backs in football, and I say, Jax, what player could add 25 receptions on his total this year? Gibbs is like the low-hanging fruit. And if I ask you before the season, where would Gibbs finish in the running back points if he only caught 50 passes? You'd be like, he's like running back 30. Yeah. So, you know, he's awesome. And Bijan's awesome too. There's really no wrong answer. This is just me flag planning time. I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs here, but I think you could pick two or three guys here.
Yeah, you may be able to pick more. I am now. You've got me a little tanking. I was wondering. I've got a couple of people here that I want to pick, and I want
them
all.
It's so funny. You want it. You feel like you're going to be wrong, but there's no wrong answer here.
There's no wrong answer, but there's like, I want a few players here. I don't know what to do. It's really crazy when you're on the clock. You know, thanks, Harry Snowman. I do think that we have a second premier elite wide receiver prospect in this 2024 class. His name is Malik Nabers. I'm taking Malik Nabers. I want Malik Nabers. So we're going to take the fact that I come away with this, with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. I feel great. I want to build my team with stud wide receivers in Dynasty. This is a Dynasty show, not a redraft show. I rather probably have Gibbs next year than Nabers, but for the next 10 years or for the value going forward, I am going to go ahead and give me Malik Nabers.
And this is the takeaway from the show. You can write this one down in ink, but Jax Falcone, AKA Scott Bullinger, just took Malik Nabers ahead of Bijan Robinson in Dynasty. Mm. And you basically flag planted the fact that Malik Nabers, you're taking ahead of Drake May at this point, let alone Jaden Daniels. So, you know, Jax, I'll say this, like, if you want to go to the mattresses and find your favorite Dynasty analyst in terms of who analyzes wide receivers the best, Jax is right there. So write that one down in ink. And then a shout out to Puff Pass Kick in the chat asking if we could please recap the draft. We're team no Excel sheet here in Dynasty Life. We ban them. I'm on a lot of podcasts and people love filling out the Excel sheet. So we're gonna break it down right here. Every six picks, we'll give a recap. Right, okay. So with the 101, I took CJ Stroud. With the 102, Jax took Anthony Richardson. With the 103, I took Caleb Williams. 104, Jax took Marvin Harrison Jr. 105, I took Jahmyr Gibbs. And then at the 106, Jax took Malik Nabers. So if you're keeping track here, it's a tie right now between the rookies and the sophomores. And I'm going to give one more to – this is easy for me. 107 now, Bijan Robinson for me. I'm taking him at the 107 ahead of Drake May and ahead of everybody else. I think Bijan, what great value here. And this is like – it's wild times because Bijan last year was like our 101 in Superflex. Like, people are making the argument for Richardson over Bijan. I know your guest today on the undrafted Ray Garvin was a big one for that. But Bijan was my 101 last year. He's one of my guys, a Player Profiler. And, you know, he didn't do anything wrong this year. It was just a usage thing with Arthur Smith. And now we have a coaching change. So We're feeling good about Bijan. I'm stealing him here at the 107. I cannot believe I'm able to get him here.
He's just a running back. Come on.
They matter.
He's just a running. He's just a running back. He was the second leading rusher on his own team, for Christ's sakes.
With an asterisk.
I'm all having fun. I think Bijan's like the best running back on the planet. So I'm being facetious, but you know, and obviously the coaching change will change there. I think he's probably a buy low, if that's crazy enough to say. So you're right. He is a steal there. And it's really hard when you're talking about these elite players. I mean, who doesn't want Bijan Robinson on their team? But I'll tell you, you know, if Neighbors hits the way that we think he will, you know, I would rather have, you know, quote unquote, Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb, players like that over the running backs just in Dynasty. That's just the way I play.
And before you pick, that trade is available to you literally everywhere. So if you're in a single QB league, you know, if you want to move Bijan Robinson, you can get the 102 and something really, really good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you should be able to. Yeah. Yeah.
So and let's take a quick pause. You know, are you somebody who likes to make trades this type of time of year to get draft picks, or do you worry a little bit because like bad things can happen?
I'm okay. Look, draft picks, I always say the 102 can't tear his ACL.
There you go.
You know,
I love it. Yeah. Okay, so you're OTC here. The right. 108.
My God. Tough. Why do you do this to me?
Because
what's the premium?
Trying to get you rattled. It's a 1.5 premium.
I hate draft. Can I trade back?
No.
I'm joking, of course. I'm always Mr. Trade Back.
We can trade picks here. If you want to give me the 108, I'll let you pick 109. Okay, so we'll stick with it.
All right, I'll do it. No, I'll stay where I'm at. Okay. I am going to draft. I'm gonna stick to the plan. I'm gonna take Puka Nacua.
Wow.
Yep. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm taking Puka Nacua. I already know what you're going to do, and I'm playing a little gameplay here, so I'm okay with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Puka one is interesting, and I think that, like, I feel like it's Puka's – we have him ranked pretty highly right now in our Dynasty wide receiver rankings, but I feel like it's like a litmus test for Dynasty managers. There's certain Dynasty managers, if I offer them in a single QB league, Puka Nacua for the 102, they are accepting that in 30 seconds. Yeah. There's certain managers who just can't get around to it. All the little things, the trepidation at the beginning of the year with Puka still is in the back of their mind. Now you have the Matt Stafford argument where will Puka regress because a potential that not necessarily even a guarantee, but in the back of people's minds, a quarterback change. And they've got it convinced in their head that if it's not Stafford, it's going to be Carson Wentz. I don't know. Like, it's crazy to me.
I don't necessarily believe that either, but I do think Stafford comes back one more year. They were so good this year. I think if they were terrible, Matt Stafford could have been like discouraged and dismayed and looking to move on and just fucking, you know, go hang with his awesome family and be rich, you know, but I think he's at the point now where he's like, man, I got a little something going. We got a little offense. Maybe we could, you know, put some pieces around this defense. I think he has a belief that he can win a Super Bowl. Man, they should have advanced. They could have advanced.
Yeah.
They could be in this championship game with a, you know, bounce of a ball, man. I mean, the Jared Goff conversion to Amon-Ra on second down killed them. I mean, that, God bless them. They had a chance, man. They had a real good chance. So anyway, yeah, Puka, I think, has got one more year of Stafford, and I'm with you, man. I just think if Puka's the first player to do what he did in his rookie season and then isn't a good player, okay, I lose the bet.
And a fun stat for you. Right now you have Michael Thomas, Justin Jefferson, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all tied for the most receptions in their first 2 years in the league combined. All Puka's got to do, and I say all he's got to do is catch 92 passes, and he passes those three guys by for most receptions in the first two seasons of the NFL career. So, love the Puka flag plant, but you make my life easy. I'm going to take Drake May here at the 109.
I knew you would. Congratulations. Yeah.
You know,
I'm taking Jaden Daniels immediately. I think I'm taking Jaden Daniels ahead of Drake May, although it's close. I have these two players very, very close. I love Drake May, but Jaden Daniels has that same type of upside. And now's a great time to start just, you know, taking that quarterback at value. So you can talk a little bit about what you think about these two prospects and what made you lean Drake May.
It's actually a pretty simple one. In single QB, not Superflex. I have Jaden Daniels ahead of him because he's going to be more of a difference maker. 2,000 rushing yards the last two seasons at LSU. I mean, rushing ability wise, you hate to put it on him, but you're talking about like a Lamar Jackson path.
Yeah.
But in Superflex, I'm going to go with the insulation of a guy who I think is going to be drafted higher, who I think is, it's a longer profile, as well. Daniels had the interesting profile where he starts out at Arizona State, he transfers, and it's sort of like a less sample size here. May is a guy that, we've been really excited for in Superflex for 2 years. So I think honestly, it's personal preference. They're very close. And just to talk about like where we have them in dynasty and quarterbacks right now, a player profiler, like they're immediately above like the Tua tier. Like there's no question. Like we already put them there. I think both are great prospects. I think it's a pretty clear 9-10 here for us to take them. And I think it's pick your poison. But I think at the end of the day, Drake May is going to be drafted earlier. Drake May is the one who I prefer in Superflex. Jaden Daniels, I'm going to be willing to reach for in single QB leagues where he can make a much more of an impact. Is that too cop out?
No, I think that's right. I think that's right. Look, I've always felt like, the quarterbacks are so difficult to project because the hit rate is so low. Anything outside of the 101, in other words, the NFL's 101, all those first round quarterbacks, you go back and we think that they all hit just because we think, oh, Lamar and Josh Allen, and they're all good. But they're not. If you look at them 10 years, 5 years, it's like 50%. A lot of them aren't very good and don't make it. I mean, even Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, those weren't hits. I mean, they were, I understand, but Mac Jones, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, keep going. And people will tell you, oh yeah, I didn't like them. Okay. Yeah, sure you didn't. We you only get the quarterbacks that come out, and these two guys are coin flips. So for me, Jaden gives me super ceiling and that elite upside. So for those reasons, if I'm going to flip a coin, I might as well flip a coin and take that huge profit if it hits the right side of the coin for me,
I love it. And I'm OTC here, and I could go a number of ways here at the 111. Gosh, this is really tough. I could go Sam Laporta here. I could go Brock Bowers here. We have the tight end premium. Is it flag plant time for me? I think I'm going to make I think this is going to be some people shaking their head at me for this one. And I'm going to keep digging my heels in, but I'm going to go Devon Achane right here at the 111. And this is maybe like five or six picks too early, but I'm not going to let you leave this draft with Achane. I got to get my guy. And at the end of the day, we have him, in the top like 12, top 15 for single QB dynasty rankings right now. So we're right there. We saw incredible upside from him where he averaged 17.5 points per game as a rookie. Again, the longevity factor, you can make an argument this guy can't stay on a football field. Yeah. But when he's on the football field, he's close to Jamal Charles.
Yeah, he tilts the football field, yeah.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that can win you money and win you dynasty titles. So I'm going to go with Devon Achane here. I could have gone about six different ways. There's some wide receivers, there's a wide receiver in this class and a couple from last class.
Yes, there are.
Maybe have much longer dynasty longevity. But I also I'll say that Achane might be the last running back name we hear the rest of the show too. So maybe he stands out with that too. We'll see.
Maybe.
Okay. So
I don't know.
You're at the 112 here. And then
unless you make some really big mistakes, I think I'm taking another running back in the next couple picks, but go ahead. And this is 12. So go ahead and recap. Here's the problem. I already picked him in my head. He already wrote it down. It's Sam Laporta.
Yeah,
you gifted him to me. Yeah, no, it's Laporta. I was super excited. I was like, oh man, he's going to take Laporta. No, I got Laporta. Boom. Close the books. That's in my head. It was already picked. Sorry. I didn't tell the people or you or anybody else. This is a podcast. I forgot. I had to tell the people. So yeah, Sam Laporta smashing the overall tight end one in dynasty at the 112 happily.
Okay, so we are going to recap here for our Superflex first and second year, rookies and second year players mock draft here. CJ Stroud goes off the board at the 101. I took him. Jax takes Anthony Richardson at the 102. I took Caleb Williams at the 103. Jax takes Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 104. I took Jahmyr Gibbs at the 105. Jax took Malik Nabers at the 106. I took Bijan Robinson at the 107. Jax flag planted Puka Nacua at the 108. Puka Nacua is officially an astronaut. Biggest riser from last year by a mile. Drake May goes to the 109. Jaden Daniels goes to the 110. We had a little bit of debate there about which one we take, but we take them back to back, so it's sort of irrelevant. I took Devon Achane, probably a little too early, at the 111. And then Jax takes Sam Laporta at the 112. Any thoughts about our first round? Any player you want to point out? The one you kind of disagree with the most, or anything like that?
I think it's pretty sharp. Achane might have felt a little early in my ranks here, but he was the next running back, so for that reason, I have no issue with it. You know how I feel about Achane. He's great, and he does. Look, man, Achane was winning me a lot of stuff. Early, and I thought I was like, oh my God, I've got some juggernauts, and it was juggernauts because of two players, a lot of Puka and a lot of Achane last year. So yeah, I was very, very keen to the fact that Achane was changing fortunes for dynasty teams. And if you had like an Achane CMC team, which I had a couple, like it was like, I just felt like I couldn't be beat. My Scott Fishbowl team was like that. And I was third in points overall out of 3,000 some odd, you know, so when Achane got hurt, it mattered. So I get your Achane. It felt a little early, but I don't poo-poo it at all.
Okay, so this one's easy for me. At essentially the 201 or 13 overall, however you want to do it, I'm going Brock Bowers.
And yeah, I already wrote it down.
Everyone knows how much I love Dalton Kincaid, but yeah. Bowers is easily a step above for me from where Kincaid is. I don't think it's very close. I think Bowers enters the equation next year as a top three tight end in Dynasty right out the gate. And depending on his landing spot. So let me ask you this, Jax. Let's say that the Los Angeles Chargers over on the West Coast by you, they say, we're taking Brock Bowers, and this is the new number one target for Justin Herbert. Where are you at on Laporta versus Bowers then?
I mean, I think you have to still take Laporta because you've seen it. Yeah, I mean, do I think that Bowers can be Laporta? Sure, but Laporta's already Laporta. So what am I really trying to do? So for me, just that was the kind of the Puka pick, right? It's like, look, I have him. I can just get him. I already know it. You know, I almost wanted to take my question, and I'm going to ask it on the show today with Ray G, is Ray G, Puka Nacua versus Rome Odunze, where are you at? And I think he's going to say Puka, and then I'm going to ask him, okay, Puka Nacua versus these other two guys, this Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. And yeah, obviously they're better prospects coming out than Puka was. They're going to be top five picks. He was a top five round pick, you know, so it's like he was in the fifth round. So of course that's not to be discussed, or that's already been determined. But here we are today. If any of these rookies go on to have an inkling of a season that Puka did, you'd be thrilled. So you already have that. And I'm not saying that that's what he's going to do forever, but you know, once they show it, that's a, you know, Michael Liu used to always say it's a gatekeeper league. Once you pass the checkpoint, you've passed the checkpoint. You know, did you get drafted? Did you do this? Right. Well, once you are the best rookie wide receiver we've seen in, you know, maybe in history, pretty damn close to that, that's what you've done. So you've checked that off. And for those reasons, I think it's Laporta over Bowers. Bowers could do something like that, but until he does, he hasn't. I'm tanking a little bit and filibustering because I don't know who
I could. You know, everybody knows you're filibustering. There's like four guys you could take. I could feel that filibuster.
So
there's tension. There's tension here because I
might take your guy. I want to take your guy. I want to take your guy. Okay, I want to take your guy. And because it's tight end premium and there's no more on the board, I'm stealing Kincaid from you.
Okay, that's the appropriate. So we basically go tight end, you know, starting at the 12th overall pick. We go Laporta, Bowers, Kincaid.
Yep.
If you know, when you factor in also Trey McBride, who who's not eligible for this.
I was going to say,
remind people this would be really fun to do.
Rewind the friggin' tape.
Let's throw those. I'll take Garrett Wilson next pick. No. But we go back to back on the tight end spot. Yeah. But if you factor in McBride with those guys, we're really, really, really cooking here in terms of young tight ends who have a pathway to be, number one or number two targets on their team and big time fantasy producers, like dudes you can put in the flex that are tight ends. It's exciting time, especially in tight end premium leagues. And it's also, this is a whole nother show, but this is like the best time ever for dynasty startups for the values you're getting in the tight end spot because of this youth equity. I'm OTC here and I have, I could go a number of ways here. I could go with Adunze.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a couple of other, year two wide receivers that I could take.
Yep.
But, the more and more I dive into Adunze, he's just the cleanest prospect. And I love Dell and I love Addison and I love Flowers, but I'm going to flag plant Rome Adunze here. I'm going to take him ahead of those guys. And I think it comes down to like Adunze is going to have, and this is, not something we want to use as our process, but when it comes to Dell, when it comes to Flowers and comes to Addison, they already have top-notch target competition on their team.
True.
With Adunze, it's a little bit of a mystery box, but where he's going to be drafted, you don't take a guy in the top six or seven picks in the NFL draft for him to be your wide receiver too. The only scenario I can see is Chicago at nine, where he would be in a 125 target guy next to DJ Moore in a new offense with Caleb Williams, but I'm not hating that either. So I'm going to go Rome Adunze, and I think gun to my head, if somebody offered me the 103 for those wide receivers that I just listed that I love, I'm taking it all day long. So I'm going to go with Rome Adunze here. I'm going to flag plant him a little bit at 15 overall.
It's because it's unknown, what I was just talking about. In other words, we haven't seen him do anything yet in the NFL. It's an unknown. It's hard because you kind of can look back and be like, remember when you took fucking Rome Adunze over Tank Dell? What an idiot. You know what I mean? Because you don't know. It's not as much of a crazy thing to say now. It's like, Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison or whatever. You're like, kind of know they're both pretty good. But I think that's the right take, and I think that's where I'm at too with Rome Adunze. I'm going to ask them, Puka versus Rome Adunze, how high is Rome, and where does Puka fit into this? Because I think that's really a question I have, because I'm not sure, but that's where I have it. That's where I have it. And so good pick, Rome Adunze. Yeah, of that group that's next, that's actually the question I have is who is next?
I know.
Right? Because I have them clustered. In my dynasty rankings, I have this next group as a group. There's almost like four of them, and I have them back to back to back to back because pick your guy. So Dynasty Game Theory 101, if I'm in this spot, I'm trading back because I want you to pick, right? I want you to pick the guy I'll pick next and get profit, so to speak, right? Of course, we can't actually do that unless you want to pay me $5 to pick. Would you do that? $5?
No, I mean, there's certain dynasty analysts who will tell you just, we're just going to call it a tier and we're not going to do it. That's not dynasty life though, Jax. You got to take the guy here.
I agree with you 1,000%. And just because, he's my boy, I'm going to take Tank Dell.
Okay, so you took Tank Dell and you sniped me on Tank Dell. Such a good pick. And it actually pains me to take Adunze over Dell. I released a video here on Player Profiler YouTube of my guys to trade for right now. Your window to trade for Tank Dell is now. Because people have the Nico Collins fresh in their mind, and to Nico's credit, balled for like multiple weeks. Great season from him. But people, as soon as we see Tank Dell in shorts, working out somewhere warm in the offseason, doing like crazy quickness and running routes, people are going to say, oh, look, Tank's healthy. That window is closed. That's it. We're talking about a guy who was on his way to, Nico Collins finishes as a wide receiver one this year in PPR. Tank Dell was on that path to finishing as a wide receiver one. You would have had him and Puka Nacua. So that's a great pick. At 17 overall for me, though, I'm going to stay right in that Teflon wide receiver range.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go Addison over Flowers here. I'm going to go Addison. Addison's my guy. I love Jordan Addison. And, you know, if somebody wanted to take Flowers here, I'm not, like, you know, yelling at him, but I think Jordan Addison, an incredible player. And I'll say that the one thing about Addison that's really interesting is if we have TJ Hawkinson very slow out the gate next year coming off of an injury, the Jordan Addison consolidated target share with Justin Jefferson, both of those guys are going to go insane. You're going to get like a great head start with Addison next year too. So Addison, clean profile. We loved him last year. He exceeded expectations. Like, I didn't think that he would have this sort of touchdown upside in his range of outcomes. Like, he stepped in the league and immediately gives you like double digit touchdowns.
Yeah.
Outstanding player and had the outstanding draft capital last year. Easy one. Jordan Addison at 17. Lock him up.
Yeah. That was the guy I was going to take. While I say I have a tier, I guess maybe I have a tier of two, because for me it was either Addison or Tank Dell. And so that was a great pick. You know, it's a great pick when you're like, you only have to fade one spot. That's snipe. You know, it's like, I know, just let Addison go by. No chance. So even in this spot, I think it's clearly Addison. So great, great pick. I'm just going to go ahead and take the pedigree here. And I'm going to take Jaxon Smith-Njigba over Zay Flowers. I think they're both similar enough. I like Zay Flowers. I think there's some other players I could potentially target, but I'm going to go ahead and get JSN.
And I think that's
six, by the way. So you can recap it after you, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's an interesting one because, you know, you bring up pedigree and, you know, we have like sort of the recency bias, but JSN's going to be fine. And this year, I think we really see him take a step forward. Okay, so we'll recap. I'm going to read out. Should I recap with all 18 or recap the last six?
Just do the last six, and then we'll do the whole thing after.
Okay, so starting at the beginning of the second round here, starting at the 201, a.k.a. the 13th overall. 13th overall, I selected Brock Bowers. Then Jax goes ahead and takes Dalton Kincaid. I took Rome Odunze over all these great second-year wide receivers. And then we've had a run of second-year wide receivers. Jax takes Tank Dell. I took Jordan Addison. And Jax takes JSN. I'm on the clock here at 19 overall. And at 19 overall, I'm going to take Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers showed us enough this year. This makes sense for him. Draft capital was there last year. And the fact that it was year one for him and also year one for the Todd Monken offense, I think there'll be more creative and fun ways to get Zay Flowers the ball next year as well. I think there's going to be some changes at the other wide receiver spot in Baltimore. One thing to keep an eye on is Baltimore's a franchise that they're always picking at the end of the first round because they win. And they might win the Super Bowl this year or be, you know, a bottom four pick no matter what happens this weekend. Keep an eye on them taking another wide receiver. I don't think it really affects Zay Flowers, but I think that it could potentially affect Zay Flowers if one of these guys like a Troy Franklin type like lands them at the end of the first round. But we can't worry about that now.
Yeah, I would have considered a couple of players over Zay Flowers. I would consider.
And, well, which one? Okay, and I think I can guess the one you're going to say next.
I don't know what I'm going to say next, but I would consider Troy Franklin, and I would consider Brian Thomas.
Yeah.
I would consider Xavier Worthy. But I think I'm going to push the button on a player that could have some asymmetrical upside for next year and could actually become something of another tier up. And that's Rashi Rice.
Yes.
And I'm surprised I'm doing it. I would have never guessed I would do this, but I'm doing it. So Rashi Rice is my next pick, and I don't feel that bad about it at all. And even if you don't like the player, you can trade the value. I'm okay with a little bit of both at this point, which is crazy.
We talked about Rashi Rice last time you were on the show, and we re-ranked, you know, this current rookie class. It was a fun show.
Yeah.
But Rice is interesting because, again, like, we have like prospect take lock in our head, and this is a guy like last offseason we didn't like as much as a guy like Jordan Addison or Zay Flowers. But at the end of the day, situation matters a lot when you're attached to Patrick Mahomes. And in terms of like redraft ADP, best ball ADP, he's a rocket ship now. Because people are seeing scenarios in their head that Travis Kelce is either not a Chief or that ship is going to leave the station. And
at some point,
Rice also gives you the combination of second half of the season production and NFL playoff production that always sticks in people's heads. So yes. I'm with you with Rice. I think you could make a legitimate case for Rice where I took Addison.
Yeah, like, I agree. Right. That's situation. Right.
Like,
yes,
Dell,
absolutely.
Dell's ahead of those guys for me.
Agreed.
Because we've seen. Yeah. So we're in lockstep there. So 21 overall. And you know what's interesting is we haven't even considered, you know, the 101 last year in the NFL draft in Bryce Young. He's just like kind of dead here. But it will be interesting to see if we hear his name called.
I suppose. Yeah. I've got a couple. Yes.
Like,
I it's just that, you feel like such a loser.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's the least sexy thing you can say.
Yeah.
It's the least sexy thing you could say. Like,
I'm on a podcast. I'm on a show. I can't do that. I feel like an idiot.
Do I want to say Bryce Young instead of Troy Franklin? I don't. Troy Franklin's my 105 right now. I like Brian Franklin. Thomas. I think Brian Thomas is safer than Troy Franklin. I think Brian Thomas is going to get like top 15 NFL draft capital. But there's something about Troy Franklin that, like, I think he's going to be just a fantasy stud. And I'm going to take him like here at 21. The next like low VMI stud is Troy Franklin.
Oh boy, jeez Louise!
And you're, I'm supposed to say I'm, and somebody else, gave me a, I don't know if it was a criticism or like a please make a hint. I'll say the colleges of the guys too when we get down to this point in the draft.
Sure,
Troy Franklin is an Oregon Duck.
Yeah, and you came close to saying Oregon correctly there. That was you
Billy
say
Muzio
it a lot better.
Says, yeah, Billy Muzio says that I don't say things like Oregon. He wants
you say
to
Oregon.
Say, yeah. He wants me to say Oregon.
Oregon.
Like an organ.
Almost like an organ, yes.
Yeah, that's like an organ. Oregon. So shout out to Billy. Lives in beautiful Bend, Oregon.
There you go.
I live on Long Island, and out here we say Oregon.
Long Island.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. See how the S isn't pronounced? It's, you know, you gotta tell people. All right. Okay. So check it out. So I'm going to make a pick that's gonna make the people happy.
Do it.
The people are going to be happy when I pull this. From Tennessee. The Titans, that is. Tajay Spears.
I love that pick. I love that pick. And I've called Tajay Spears this year's Rashad White, this year's James Cook. Massive step forward in production. You know, we're projecting Callahan to be the coach there. This is going to be this is a great outcome for Tajay. Like, yeah. I think Tajay, it's like a you don't really have to like squint too hard. Like, you see the talent, you also see the receiving ability. This is like great stuff for fantasy. I love that you flag planted Tajay Spears here. Now let me flip this around on you. Tajay's a guy that we drafted in the second round of single QB leagues last year.
Yeah.
What pick would you be willing to trade for Tajay Spears in a single QB league, dynasty league right now? Like, are you trading the 111 for Tajay Spears?
Yes, absolutely. And a single quarterback for sure. I was actually going to say somewhere. Well, look, we're right around Troy Franklin. So for me, yeah, I think, you know, anything after that, the 107 in a super flex league, you could even start considering it, because I'm not saying I want to give up the 108 if I don't have to. But, you know, over most of these players, why not? I mean, I think that's the way to go. 111 in a single quarterback league is probably a smash city, baby.
And everyone, make sure you smash the like. Make sure you're subscribed to Player Profiler. If you love Dynasty Life, you know, you need to make sure that the undrafted is in your weekly rotation. It's in my weekly rotation. Thanks. You know, I listen to Jax in the car. I listen to Jax in the gym. And that's pretty much the two places I listen to you.
Because I piss him off. So he has road rage and he's able to lift a lot of fucking weights.
That's right. Yeah.
Idiot. But
yeah. Highly recommend it. And this won't be the last time we chop it up in some capacity. But we're here at 23 overall here. Gosh, this is a difficult one. I think that I'm going to go back to the rookie class well here. Gosh, you know, I really should just take. I was going to take a wide receiver from this class, but I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to take Bryce Young. I'm going to give Bryce Young a life preserver. And I'm going to say Bryce Young is not dead yet. Bryce Young, his dynasty stock has receded big time. But yeah, I'm here. Bryce Young, 23 overall, feels about right. And at this point in Superflex, I don't need him to be anything more than like, just get up to like QB 18, QB 15 level Bryce Young. And I think people will be really happy with this. You know, not a whole lot to hang our hat on, but I do think the regime change should be good for him. It's a good pick.
It should feel right, actually, because you're like, I've got a starting quarterback and I just, you know, picked him at whatever it is. So yeah, no, great, great pick. I'll make a pick. This is another one of those just like my guy picks. And I don't know if I'd actually, oh boy, I should probably take Brian Thomas over. Okay, I'm going to take Brian Thomas. Okay, I'm going to take Brian Thomas, but I'm going to tell you that I'm thinking about taking Jaden Reed. He's my honorable mention right here. You know, I don't know. Like, let me ask you that question to finish the show. Like, is Jaden Reed or Brian Thomas, you know, what's Brian Thomas, the 1-2 turn type of player? I mean, are you willing to pay a 1-2 turn for Jaden Reed right now? Or
I probably am, but I think I'm irrationally bullish on Jaden Reed. The thing about Jaden Reed, the best argument for Jaden Reed is not what we saw on the field. It's snaps. He could become an every snap player in year two, man. And he's a baller. So if you tell me like we're lining him up in the parking lot and we're saying, you know, who did I like better as a prospect? It's not even close. It's Brian Thomas. But yeah. Jaden Reed, the war daddy, he's a stud. And we like Jordan Love a lot at Player Profiler. So
maybe it's Jaden Reed here.
And I would trade you Bryce Young for Jaden Reed right now. I would trade you Bryce Young for Brian Thomas. And a quick shout out to Scoob in the chat. Scoob wants graphics. Okay, fine. Next time I do a mock draft show on Dynasty Life, I will make sure we have an Excel sheet. I'm an anti-Excel. It's fair.
We talked about it before the show because we had not good graph. Well, you know, we had old man graphics, and we thought they could be better for you. So he's right. You know, we wanted them to be good, not shitty. So
listen, guys, smash the like here. I'm going to give you a recap. We're going to go down the list and
we'll
this,
tweet it.
This was super fun. Well, you know, we want people to tune into the podcast first. We'll tweet it later in the week.
Yeah,
we'll tweet this out on like Saturday. And on Saturday, I'm also going to put it in the show description here on YouTube. But let's go through the list. CJ Stroud at the 101, Anthony Richardson at the 102, Caleb Williams at the 103, Marvin Harrison Jr. at the 104, Jahmyr Gibbs at the 105, Malik Nabers at the 106, Bijan Robinson at the 107, Jax takes Puka Nacua at the 108, Drake May at the 109, Jaden Daniels at the 110, Devon Achane goes at the 111 to me, and the 112, the tight end run begins. Jax takes Sam Laporta. I follow up with Brock Bowers. Jax takes Dalton Kincaid. Then I take Rome Odunze over basically all of the non-Puka Nacua year two wide receivers. Then Jax goes with Tank Dell. I go Jordan Addison. We say Jackson Smith and Jigba at 18 overall. Then I took Zay Flowers. Jax takes Rashee Rice. I took Troy Franklin. Jax takes Tyjae Spears. I took Bryce Young. And 24 overall, you're going War Daddy, correct?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, guys, I want to give you a couple takeaways. From this. Jax took Malik Nabers over Bijan Robinson in Dynasty. That's a big takeaway for me. Another big takeaway for me is that Jax is still on Jackson Smith and Jigba ahead of Zay Flowers, ahead of Rashee Rice, ahead of Troy Franklin. That's a big takeaway. Another big takeaway for me is that we both passed on Bryce Young up until 23 overall. And I took him begrudgingly just so we didn't want to look like we were, you know, having take lock. But Bryce Young, if you believe in him, based on where we took him, this is the best time to trade for him. And then the last one, Tyjae Spears gets in here. Tyjae Spears, this is a guy where Jack said he would trade, you know, essentially back half of the first round, single QB rookie draft pick. That trade is available to you pretty much everywhere because right now Derrick Henry hasn't signed with anybody. And there's also trepidation for the Titans where people don't want any Tennessee Titans. Go trade for Tyjae Spears. Jax, any takeaways for you when you think about the process we just did?
I think you nailed a lot of them, actually. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, the running backs are you have a hard time. Add Mitchell, another guy.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love Adonai Mitchell. We should have gone three rounds.
No, but I mean some of the guys, Xavier Worthy, Ad Mitchell, Keon Coleman, Trey Benson. I mean, look, for me, all these running backs, the Trey Benson, Braylon Allen, Jonathan Brooks, those are players I like. I just don't think I can get to the point where I'm taking them until I see some draft capital or something. I mean, because you could get absolutely crushed with one of those picks where, I mean, even Charbonnet, you know, Charbonnet was a nice player, got good draft capital. He's parked behind Ken Walker. I mean, it's so much harder for a running back to, you know, force himself into touches. Whereas, look, you know, Puka Nacua lands behind Cooper Kupp and he's getting targeted. You know, these guys can find their way, the wide receivers, with just talent alone. You know, targets are earned, carries are given. So, you know, these are some of the takeaways I've gotten. I think we smartly did that. I think in a lot of drafts like this, people will be wondering why we didn't take, you know, any running backs from this rookie class. And it's not because we don't like them, because I would imagine that in May, one of these running backs or two of these running backs might force their way into it, you know, if one of them gets a great landing spot and great draft capital. But until they do, which one? I don't know which one. You know, you want me to take, you know, hey, we could have taken running back one from this class. You know what I mean? Whoever that is. Sure, I'll take him over Zay Flowers potentially, but I don't know which one it's going to be. And for that reason, I can't take him, if that makes sense.
And just to one comment from the chat, we have another person fired up about where did JSN go. Jackson Smith and Jigba went at 18 overall. Overall. So guys, we'll put this. I'll put this in the show description. You know, in a couple of days.
Yes, they want to ask too. It's like, yeah, Jackson Smith and Jigba went right between. It went Tank Dell, Addison, JSN, Flowers, Rice. So we both kind of have that little tier where it's like, okay, now let's take all these, you know, these second year wide receivers right in a row, right after Roma Dunze, right after the tight end. So there is kind of a texture to this draft, and it looks like you and I both kind of had our list similar to one another if we were to, you know, cheat and share notes. So yeah, I think that's about where he goes, right? That's about where I have him.
This was a lot of fun though today. Jax, let everybody know what you have coming up and what you're doing every week.
Hey man. Yeah, we're doing The Undrafted is my podcast. That's what I'm doing. But at the and you can find that wherever the hell podcasts are found, including currently on the Player Profiler Network. But the Undroppables is where I'm at. That's my our company. That's our, you know, our thing. Go check us out at theundroppables.com. We have a lot of, you know, new faces at the Undroppables. Travis Seal joins the team, and Travis is the owner of True North Fantasy Football. And True North has been a great partner of ours for a long time, but we sort of basically brought him in and brought in True North. So we are full partners with True North, and Travis does amazing work for us. He's revitalized us in a lot of ways. We brought in Dan Wisner. Dan is awesome. Go follow him. He's doing a lot of great articles. And because of that, we've brought in some other new writers, EK Baller, et cetera, just all sorts of new faces. Just like you guys brought in John Lobb. We would have loved to have brought in John Lobb, but you guys got him. Great, great addition. So a lot of cool additions to our site. So a lot of great pieces on the site right now. I know Marcus Gailey just did a great piece on some of the injuries, including Anthony Richardson. So go check that out on the site and follow us everywhere. YouTube channel starting to pop off as well.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely follow Jax. And then I'm going to put in the show description, my overall rankings for this class. But you can find it over at Player Profiler, as well as my running back rankings. Wide receivers should drop probably Friday or Saturday, my wide receiver rankings, and I'm just going down position by position. Sonic Truth is back tomorrow morning, Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Alan Sislowski is on vacation, but the Podfather, Matt Kelly and I are joined by Andrew Cooper of Fantasy Alarm. It's going to be a lot of fun. Stick with us here, Coop. Dynasty. Yeah, Coop is great. Stick with us here at Dynasty Life all offseason long. We've got you covered for all of your dynasty needs. And enjoy the NFL playoffs this weekend. It's going to be lit. Have a great rest of your day.